Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Ladies and gentlemen, that's probably the most comforting passage, not only in the New Testament, but in all the Bible. And it comes right from the lips of the Savior, the greatest authority the world has ever known. Remember what he said, in my Father's house. I remember growing up, I was always the runt of the neighborhood. I still am. But there was a bully in the neighborhood. Every neighborhood has a bully. This guy was 6 feet tall or more. Every chance he got, he jumped on us little fellows. And you know what? When he jumped on me, I did not go running off to my neighbor's house. I went to my Father's house because I knew that in my Father's house there was comfort and consolation and warmth and food and companionship. In my Father's house, don't forget it, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us. He said, inasmuch as I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We've often heard people ask, well, where is heaven? And the answer comes back, if Jesus is there, 'tis heaven to me wherever I be. So we can have that great confidence today. This is not all of it, ladies and gentlemen. There's a greater chapter. There's a brighter day. So I admonish you to keep looking up, because Jesus is coming soon. Now then, for our lesson today, I'm taking one sentence from 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse number 1. And I'll give you that sentence after we pray. Our Father, we are grateful today for your kindness and blessings, bringing us to this very moment, this hour, the time that we look into your word to see what you have to say. We've heard the commentators, the pundits, the politicians, the psychologists, the psychiatrists, the physicians, but now we want to hear what you have to say. And I pray that it will be implanted, engrafted in our hearts today. In Jesus' name we ask it with thanksgiving. Amen. The sentence I call your attention to is the first sentence of verse number 1 of 1 Chronicles chapter 21. I hope you'll have it embedded in your mind, and it's very short. And Satan stood up against Israel. Keep that sentence in mind. Satan stood up against Israel. Now, folks, you and I as Christians have three common enemies today: the world, the flesh, and the devil. What does the Bible say about the world and the relationship of the Christian to the world? It comes from the pen of James, chapter 4 and verse 4. James wrote, "Know ye not that the friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Ladies and gentlemen, we can't hold on to God with one hand and the world with the other. Now, when we say the world, we don't mean just people. It's the world system that we live in. It's ruled over by Satan. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's the god of this world. So when we say world, we mean the world system. We cannot be friends with this world system and at the same time be friends with God. The second enemy is the flesh. What does the Bible say about the flesh? Well, Paul has two verses in particular. The first one is Romans chapter 7 and verse 18. And the second one is Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17. I give you first Romans chapter 7 and verse number 18. Listen to what Paul said. Now remember, Paul was a great apostle to the Gentile world. Paul wrote 14 books of the New Testament. Paul made 3 missionary journeys across Europe and Asia, establishing churches. And listen to what he said in Romans 7:18. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. By the way, don't spend your time telling God how good you are. He knows better. In my flesh, here's a man of great spiritual stature, a chosen vessel, apostle, author, traveler, church planner, soul winner. Yet he said, in my flesh there dwelleth no good thing. Galatians 5:17, he tells us about the constant warfare between the flesh and the spirit. Now here's what he said, listen carefully. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you should. The constant warfare that we have with the devil day by day prevents us from doing a lot of the good things that we want to do. Not only do we not have any good thing dwelling in our flesh, but we're in a warfare with Satan, the spirit against the flesh, and the flesh against the spirit. Now the third enemy is the arch enemy, and that's the devil. The devil. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8. Peter says, be sober. Now that's not the opposite to drunkenness. That means the right kind of mind, the right kind of thinking. Be sober in your thoughts. Be vigilant. That is, be on the lookout. Why? Because your adversary, your enemy, your opponent, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. The devil wants to devour you, the archenemy of your soul. I like the little Salvation Army chorus. The devil and me, we don't agree. I hate him and he hates me. My daddy used to say, if you don't ever come face to face with the devil, the chances are that you're going in the same direction he's going in. Every day we're confronted with satanic instruments right from Satan. His number one objective, ladies and gentlemen, is to destroy everything in the world that has anything to do with God and Christ and the Bible and righteousness and holiness and honesty and purity and integrity. The devil is out to destroy that. Now his primary targets, I have listed here about 6 of them. And number one is the home. The home is ordained of God. If the devil, listen, if the devil can destroy the home, he can impede the growth of the church. Starts in the home. The home, the church, the individual Christian, the school system, and government. The devil wants to destroy all of those. By the way, I don't have to tell you that as the devil stood up against Israel, devil is standing up against America today. the devil is standing up against your life and mine. I don't have to tell you that the devil did not want you to come to Sunday school this morning. He probably fought it in a way that he will not fight it in the morning when you're getting ready to go to work. He doesn't care if you go to work, but he doesn't want you to go to church. He doesn't want you to pray. He doesn't want you to witness. He doesn't want you to tithe. Did you hear me? He doesn't want you to tithe. He doesn't want you to exercise faith in Jesus Christ. He doesn't want you to read the Bible because he's afraid of the Bible. By the way, the devil is not afraid of a Bible with dust on it. But just because it's dusty on the outside does not mean it's dry on the inside. I'm like the little girl who said reading the Bible is like squeezing an orange. The more I squeeze it, the more juice I get out of it. I like that, don't you? Squeeze the Bible every day. Start the day with the Bible. Continue the day with the Bible. End the day with the Bible. Satan is standing up against you and me today. Now, what are we to do when the devil stands up against us? Should we run and try to hide from the devil? 1,000 times, no. What we should do is adorn ourselves with the armor that Paul describes in Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you may be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Make sure your praying is in the Spirit. Make sure you have all of these elements of the suit of armor. By the way, did you notice there was no armor for the back? If you turn your back on Satan, you're in trouble. He'll shoot you down that quick. Be careful. You can face him front to front, face to face, eye to eye, if you're dressed up in the armor suit of the Spirit. You must have the strength of the Lord to win the victory. John put it this way in 1 John 5:4. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It is said of Martin Luther, that he felt the presence of the devil so strongly in his room, in his study, that he often would throw a bottle of ink at him. Now, the devil's a real person. The devil is not just some figment of imagination of a fanatical, fundamental Baptist preacher. Oh, no, the devil is real. He's a person. Martin Luther said, when the devil comes knocking at my door or the door of my heart, and ask, who lives here? The Lord Jesus answers, Martin Luther used to live here, but he moved out, and I now live here. I think that's what Paul meant in Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, not self, not ego, not the old man, not Adam, not I, but... watch these four words. Christ liveth in me. If you put those four words in your vocabulary, in your heart, and in your mind, you'll have victory every day. Christ, did you get that? Christ liveth in me. Now, that's my introduction to the lesson, and I've entitled it, Dealing with the Devil, How to Overcome the Devil. Now, in order to overcome the devil, there are three things that every Christian must know. Please make a note of it. Number one, you have to know who the devil is. Who is your enemy? Who is Satan? Who is the adversary? Who is your enemy? You have to know. Secondly, you have to know how the devil operates. If you don't know how he operates, you won't know how to attack him or to be safe from his attacking you. You've got to know what he does, how he operates. And third, you need to know what you can do to combat the devil. Let me repeat those. You got to know who the devil is. You have to know how the devil operates. You have to know what you can do to combat him. We must know, number one, who the devil is. Who do you think the devil is? Some imaginary curtain? No, he's a real person. I'm reminded of the illustration I read many years ago. A preacher was going to preach a message on the devil. So he got him a red suit, a long pitchfork. He went down off the platform and stopped at the first pew. There was an old man sitting there, and he said, "Do you know who I am?" The old man said, "No, I don't know who you are." Went to the second pew. "Do you know who I am?" "No, I don't know who you are." He got to the third pew. He said, "Do you know who I am?" He said, "I should. I've been married to your sister for 50 years. So I wonder if we know who the devil is today." He's a real person. Don't ever forget that. Now, some of the names that are given to the devil in the Bible are as follows. Satan, the dragon, the accuser, the serpent, the adversary, and Apollyon, or the destroyer. Those are the names that are given him in the New Testament or in the Bible altogether. Now, let's see. We know who the devil is now. We must, in the second place, we must know how the devil operates. I'm sure if you've been saved very long, you already know how the devil operates. As we used to sing in the chorus in the little kids' departments, he's a sly old fox. I'm going to put him in a box. Well, he'd get out of that box pretty quick, so you better be careful. Put on the whole armor of God. Now, how does the devil operate? Well, I suggest in the first place that he deceives people. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. Now remember, this is God's word. Now you women, listen up carefully. For Adam was first formed. I'm reading from 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 13 and 14. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Adam was not deceived. Did you get that? I didn't make this up, folks. It's in the book. It's written. It's in the Bible. Adam was not deceived, but the woman, being deceived, was in the transgression. Adam was not deceived. He had his eyes open. Now, it all began when Satan planted a lie in the heart of Eve. Remember what God said to Adam and Eve? "Now, you can eat of all the trees of the garden, but of this tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you must not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you will die." I don't need the echo, hon. Thank you. "You will die if you eat of this tree." Well, along comes Satan. This is his dirtiest deal. All started right here. Satan said, Did God really say you would die? Oh, he said, you will not surely die. And guess what? Eve believed the lie of Satan. And people have been believing it ever since. Eve was deceived by Satan. And you know the rest of that story. She gave the fruit to Adam. And boy, he just grabbed it and took a bite of it, and he's into transgression too. But it all started when Eve believed and was deceived by the devil. So be careful. The devil will get you to deny God's word. Did God say? That's the first question the devil asked Eve. Did God really say that? Putting a question mark by what God said. And then he came along with his lie and said, God didn't say that. You will not surely die. So the devil deceives. Be careful. Number two, the devil lies and murders. I give you the words of Jesus on this. He's the greatest authority the world has ever known. Jesus said in John chapter 8 at verse number 44, 8:44, the gospel according to John. Jesus said the devil was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there was no truth in him. Did you get that? There's no truth in the devil. He can make things sound good and sound like they're true, but there's no truth in the devil. That's what Jesus said. I believe what Jesus said. He said, there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. Watch it now, for he is a liar and the father of it. All lies begin with Satan. Satan can put it in your heart and mind to lie. He can make it sound good. He can make it sound true. He can make it sound acceptable, honorable, but he can't tell the truth because he's a liar and the father of it. When he speaks of his own, Jesus said he speaks a lie, for he is a liar. What else does the devil do? How does he operate? Well, he blinds the eyes of the unsaved. Listen, the devil will do everything he can to get a person from being saved. Because every person that's saved diminishes the power of Satan and his kingdom. That's another one on God's side and one off of his side. So he blinds the eyes of the unsaved. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4:3, Paul wrote, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ shineth unto them. He doesn't want people to get saved. He puts a blinder over their spiritual eyes to help prevent them from believing the truth. Now remember, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's why we ought to do our best. And my prayer is every morning in my devotions, I include this part in my prayer. Dear God, please raise up in the congregation of Worth Baptist Church some people who will become translators of the Word of God so that we can translate it into other languages and send it around the world so that other people can hear it, because hearing, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. How are people going to hear and believe and be saved if they don't have the word of God? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I hope you'll make that your prayer too. There may be someone listening right now, maybe in this congregation or out on the other end of the line, and God's speaking to you about becoming a translator. We're supporting our churches, and we are personally, organizations that are translating the word into 25 and 30 languages and sending it all over the world. That's one of the greatest ministries that anybody could support, is a ministry that's translating the word out of English into other languages, pardon me, and sending it to the ends of the earth. So Satan is busy blinding the unbeliever so they won't hear the word of God. And then there's a fourth thing that Satan does. This is how he operates. Not only does he deceive, not only does he lie and murder, not only does he blind the eyes of the unsaved, but here, number four, he hinders Christians from doing what's right. Let me repeat it. He hinders Christians from doing what is right. The devil doesn't want you and me to do what's right. Now listen to what Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18. Now the church at Thessalonica was probably the first church that Paul established. He had a desire to go back and visit that church to see how they were getting along. After all, he poured out his heart, his soul, his mind, his life, his energy, his time, his training into their hearts and minds when he organized and started that church, planted that church. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 18, listen to what Paul said. Wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Did you get that? Satan hindered the Apostle Paul, the man who wrote 14 books, who made three journeys across Europe and Asia and established churches and won souls. Satan hindered him and his company from visiting the first church that he established. We wanted to come to see you often, Paul said, but Satan hindered us. And listen, my friends, Satan will hinder you from doing what God wants you to do. He'll hinder you from witnessing to that person on the job tomorrow, or saying a prayer for an unsaved person tomorrow, or tonight before you go to bed. He will hinder you. By the way, has the devil ever come around and reminded you of your past? Whispered in your ear, do you remember when you did so-and-so? When you did... Well, by the way, when the devil reminds you of your past, remind him of his future. Amen. His future is spelled out in Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 10. And the devil that deceived them, now watch this. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. Now watch it. And shall be tormented day and night forever and forever. Wow. Won't that be a great day? My daddy used to say, when the devil is locked up in the bottomless pit, I'm going to ask God to allow me to jump up and down on top of it and praise God that the devil is finally in prison. The devil, watch it again. Now let me give it to you again. And this is just what you need to hear. Revelation 20 and 10, this is his future. So when he reminds you of the things you've done in the past, you take him to Revelation 20 and verse 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Now watch this, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented once in a while. No. Day and night. 24/7. Forever. How long is forever? Forever is forever. Now we've got to know a third thing. We've got to go quickly. We know who he is. We know how he operates. Now we've got to know how we can combat him. How can we stand up against the devil? Well, Paul tells us in Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. Don't give the devil any room to do anything. If you compromise a little bit, you'll compromise a little bit more, and little by little by little by little becomes a lot. If you give him a toehold, he'll get a foothold in your life. Give no room, make no room, place no place for the devil. Learn to resist him in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know how you can make a coward of the devil? Not by winking at him. If you wink at him, he'll come on. Here's how you do it. James chapter 4 and verse 7. You can make a coward of the devil. He says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resist him. Put up a shield. Put up a fence. Put up a stone wall. Build it out of the blocks of the Word of God. Depend on the Holy Spirit. Resist him and he will flee from you. Now, the most effective way is to attack him with the Word of God. If you'll study the first few verses of Matthew 4 and Mark 1 and Luke 4, you'll get the account of the temptation of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that he was led. Mark says he was driven of the Spirit into the wilderness, where he spent 40 days and 40 nights fasting. And the devil came and said to him, if you're the Son of God, turn those stones into bread. Now, I've seen some people that turn bread into stones, but I never saw anybody could turn stones into bread. If you're the Son of God, turn those stones, little round, slick-looking stones over there, you turn those into bread. You can eat those. And Jesus wasn't about to obey the devil. He depended on God. Amen. For everything he needed. And so Jesus said, it is written. And he quoted Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And then Satan took him to the highest pinnacle of the temple. That was at least 90 feet high. And he said to Jesus, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. And Jesus said, wait a minute, devil. It is written, and he quoted from Deuteronomy 6:16, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So the devil runs away. By the way, He soon comes back. You may drive him off, but he'll be back. The third temptation, the third phase of the temptation, he took Jesus to the highest mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said to him, if you will bow down and worship me, I'll give you all these kingdoms with all of their glory. And Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy 6:13, it is written, thou shalt serve the Lord and him, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So you're getting, it is written first from Deuteronomy 8:3, second from Deuteronomy 6:16, and Deuteronomy 6:13. And if you're wondering maybe why he quoted from Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy is probably the most attacked book in the Bible. Maybe with for the authenticity of its writer. Maybe Daniel a little more, but Deuteronomy has been stripped apart by the critics. And Jesus must have believed it. He quoted from it three times. It is written. It was written. It is written. It forever shall be written. If you'll follow that, you'll gain the victory over the devil. The only effective weapon to combat Satan is the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says it's quick, alive, that is, and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, let me give you a formula, and I think you already have it, but let me give it to you again. One of the best formulas for studying the Bible. Somebody said, well, how am I supposed to study the Bible? Here it is. Read it through. Take it in. Write it down. Work it out. and pass it on. The best deal you can make with the devil is to never make a deal with him. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful. We are more than happy this morning because we have your precious word that gives us how we can defend ourselves from the arch enemy. And we'll give you the praise for it in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.